At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Every dating app swap is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S.-owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Let's get more into the clinicians themselves, because before any of this, Lindsay Clancy was a labor and delivery nurse. In 4 months, she was treated by a psychiatrist, two psychiatric nurse practitioners, a hospital perinatal program, and an inpatient stay at McLean. Her psychiatrist testified she never obtained records from any of them. Clancy, like I said, spent her career in labor and delivery, and every provider, or it seems many of them, took her at her word. One of the things that really kind of shocked me a bit from Tuff's testimony the other day was taking the word of the client on her cocktails of medications that she was being given and being and taking. That's great, you know, that she's, you know, she's has experience in this field. She can probably speak to it easier and more readily than the average Joe out there like myself. And be like, what do you take? I'm like, let me check Walmart and look at the prescription list of what I have to be accurate with you. I'm sure that she was able to rattle some of that off. But at the same point, you're dealing with someone who is dealing with mental health problems.
Yes.
They may not be the most accurate. They may not necessarily be trying to hide something from you. They may not be capable of delivering that information to you as accurately as it should be delivered, or they may be trying to hide too. You just don't know. You don't know in a situation like that. So to be like, well, she's got some experience in this area, I'm just going to take her at her word, that seems to be negligent.
It is negligent.
From a layperson standpoint. What's your thoughts?
Definitely negligent. When somebody is having serious symptoms that are impairing their function, they're saying, I'm getting worse, I'm not sleeping, particularly 48 hours with no sleep, and so many other red flags, right? We could write the book on all the red flags. The first thing you do, you call in the family. And yes, you do need a release from the client to call in the family, but people will do that because the other thing, Patrick, you can sit, if you're doing telehealth, like you can say, it looks like a screen like this. You can have two people sitting together and you can say, Patrick, what are you noticing? Her parents were involved. Her mother was sleeping with her at one point, coming in and staying with her. You want to talk to the mother. What's alarming you? Obviously, you're seeing something. And you have to realize the patient often does not have the insight in order to explain. Act your, and it doesn't mean that they're trying to be deceptive. They're not insightful because they're ill. And you've got to pull in, it's called a collateral visit. You've got to do collateral visits. Plus, you've got to talk to the other people who are doing treatment. And that just never happened here. That's fragmentation. That goes against our ethical guidelines. We're always supposed to collaborate with other people doing treatment. And if you are doing treatment, you are allowed under HIPAA to communicate with another person doing treatment for coordination of care, and you can share the diagnosis, you can share the symptoms, and you can share the treatment plan. And that, again, is standard of care. And nobody was doing it. And that's just glaring. McLean Hospital didn't do it. And then when she was asked why, when Tufts was asked why you didn't do that, oh, well, our system doesn't hook up with their system. So you make a phone call. You know, You make a phone call.
Yeah, it seems like there's so many institutional roadblocks that the people who are working for the institutions literally just treat as brick walls. Like, there's no going beyond this. Like, well, you really need to, though. Well, there's just no way of doing it. Like, there are. You're just choosing not to.
When I used to see a lot of little kids, even high school kids, which I don't at this point, and they were having significant symptoms, I wanted to know what the teachers were seeing. I wanted to know what the school counselors were seeing. And I would always get a release. I got on the phone, sometimes the same day, call the teacher. Let's schedule a collaboration here. What are you noticing? Are you noticing the same things I'm noticing? That's just good care.
You know, I'm also curious, Siobhan, because, you know, we've been focusing on the behaviors of Lindsay and what she was sharing, attempting to share, not sharing, and, you know, the drop-down memories, all that. And so people saying that she was kind of falling in what they were considering kind of normal for what they were seeing. But my curiosity is, let's reverse it a little now. Are you seeing the clinicians, because we've been talking about how the clinicians could have dug deeper, they could have talked to more people, they could have done all these things. And so I'm seeing the wobble, not necessarily in Lindsay as much, because she's saying the standard things, but possibly, but the clinicians, if they're seeing a wobble in what they're needing to do to get more information, they should have picked up on that.
Very much.
Because, in other words, if something, because again, when remove Tufts from the equation because she's got no reps, but all these other people that have all these lots of years of reps, some of them decades of reps doing this, they were seeing not necessarily a super wobble or a change in Lindsay compared to all the patients they've seen, but their level of having to dig deeper, having to be involved, getting text messages on weekends. I'm curious whether that was a wobble for them that should have triggered them regardless of what they're getting from her. Yes?
No? Yeah. Yeah. And the thing that she did tell everybody noted the lack of sleep. The lack
yes,
of sleep.
Huge.
48 hours with no sleep. That is a red flag for a manic condition, which would lead one to believe an underlying bipolar condition.
And that seemed like yo-yoing. Some people saying, yes, she is manic, then not. I mean, it's like how I'm having a hard time understanding why. And I guess it's because she's presenting in that 15 minutes they're with. So how do you see more than that 15 minutes so that in one 15-minute snapshot, someone's saying she's manic, but then she comes in another day and she's not. And it's kind of
You got to ask the right questions. You have to listen well. You have to pay attention. The first thing when I hear lack of sleep to that degree, like a lot of depressed people, it takes me 2 hours at night to fall asleep. You know, there's a little bit of sleep problems, a little bit of anxiety. Not sleeping at all.
Yeah.
You look at mania. You look at mania. And they weren't doing that. The other thing that indicated mania, racing thoughts. Bad thoughts. At some point, she said, I'm having horrible, intrusive thoughts. Well, let's look a little closer. An intrusive thought is mood, you know, it goes with the mood. So a depressed person may have an intrusive thought that's like, I'm a terrible person. I'm just an awful person. And it feels uncomfortable to them, but they know it's coming from inside their head. They needed to look closer. What is an intrusive thought to you? Take me into that. It would turn out it's a voice that she's hearing inside her head that's very incongruent with who she is. And that's my guess, that what they were calling intrusive thoughts, she was actually having some auditory hallucinations, which she didn't know how to identify that because people, when they're psychotic, they don't have insight.
Yeah. But Siobhan, she was a labor nurse. Why didn't she know that?
Because they don't study psychiatry. They don't study psychiatry. And even if she did, I mean, there are people who do study psychiatry who don't have insight when their brain is not working.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't see it in themselves because they're not an objective observer at that point.
And what's mania? Because it kept coming up a number of times. So Siobhan, can you tell us briefly what mania is? Because she's talking about it, or it's been described, not described. And then what can mania lead to?
Yeah. Mania is a, as I always say, category 5 emergency, because it can escalate. Now, it can fluctuate. You may have times when a person is less manic, but you can have times when it really escalates. And mania is a sign of psychosis, one manifestation of it. And it's when the brain is really racing. It is overacting. Sometimes it shows up in behavior. So a person literally with severe mania, and it goes on a continuum, maybe racing around the room. I have seen that happen. They are so agitated, they can't stop. It can manifest. People often think, oh, mania means they're super happy. Sometimes they can be grandiose and be super happy and elevated. It can also be irritability. It can be mixed with, we call it a mixed state, where it's mixed with depression, but their thinking is out of reality. And, you know, it can go positive or negative, but they're not in reality. Often they're starting to have delusions. And when it continues and it gets worse, they have auditory or visual hallucinations. Those hallucinations, and this is what happened to her, can become command hallucinations, where you hear the voice in your head that is telling you to do something. And it's very hard for people to resist those command hallucinations. There's something called hypomania, which means they've just got a lot going on. They've maybe got too much going on. And this is the concern with her when 2 weeks later, she was running a 5K race, right? 2 weeks after having the baby.
Yeah.
Sounds like mania. She was cleaning out the garage. She was planning to go back to work. And all these things immediately would be red flags to me. We need to be looking at, is this on the manic spectrum here?
Hmm. And I imagine it's exasperated also by that lack of sleep, because decision-making.
Yes.
So it's all feeding into each other. It's a
One key part is the extreme lack of sleep. And often people will be going, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. I've seen people go up to 2 weeks with zero sleep, and they don't say they're tired. They don't say they're tired.
Yeah.
They can have a lot of ideas. They can get very creative. And so we live in a culture that often rewards hypomania when you've got super active people who are doing a lot and accomplishing a lot, but it doesn't go up to the level of psychosis.
Especially if you're a nurse and a mother of three and trying to manage all that and go back to work, and you have the, and you are trying to make everything right for everyone's life.
Yeah.
What do you say, Siobhan? This is a very open-ended one, but it's one I've heard like 52 variations on, because the world has decided that they can't accept that there's such a thing as someone having a psychotic episode and that she was in it. So they go to, well, the husband must have done it, and it's a giant conspiracy. There's that, but there's also, why didn't he do more for her?
Yeah.
How dare that he went out with his friends one day and had a moment of respite? Bless your heart. If you've never been in a situation with a partner that's in this sort of a situation, you have no fucking clue what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But what do you say to that? What do you say to the people who are like, he should have done more. He should have been there for her more than he already was. I mean, he's not a medical professional.
Yeah.
The people who are relying on for insight and expertise are shuffling her around in and out. They're not doing it. He's not equipped to do it necessarily. Mm-hmm. What's your response to that?
It is almost sadistic to be saying those kind of things. I have so much trouble reading it. Sometimes I look at the comments online. I go, I just have to get out of here because it's making me steam.
Yeah.
Families are not trained in this. I would say 90% of families, if not more, when they have a person who's developing psychosis in their family, they don't know what it is. They don't get the risks. They see the person on a good day. Well, maybe she has a bad day. Maybe she has a good day. And on a good day, it's probably okay. you know, to go out to the store. She seems fine. She's not fine internally, but they don't know that. They don't know what to do. And when they feel like the person is under the care of doctors, they're giving this medication that they've been told is going to help, they tend to trust the doctors, you know, and we all hope for the best. And I'm sure there's not a husband out there who assumes, if I go out for 20 minutes or an hour, then I'm going to come home and find a horrendous scene like this. You know, this wasn't the person that she was.
Yeah.
And I just think blaming him, or the worst one, is saying he did it. And he convinced her that she was crazy, and she doesn't remember being crazy, and she doesn't remember what happened, and so he killed the kids. That's when I go, I just have to get out of this.
Yeah, well, Cindy in Ohio thinks that she knows better than all of us and everybody.
Of course.
You know, it's like, it's like that sort of shit. I'm just like, I can't even engage with it because we're not even talking about reality anymore.
Right.
And it's just, it deserves very little airtime or breath. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, that to me, it feels like Screaming Witch. It feels, I mean, and answer me this, riddle me this. How far has Massachusetts really come from witch trials? Because this really kind of feels like literally a witch trial, where we're going to completely throw out all of the psychological, medical evidence here that clearly shows us what was going on, and we're going to pretend it's something else, that she's this psychopathic witch, which she clearly is not. But everybody, and all they want to do is keep pounding it in, and keep citing evidence of, well, why didn't she show us sign of being a psychopath? Because she's not a psychopath.
Exactly.
She was in a psychotic state. That's why you're not finding those signs, Inspector Gadget. I'm baffled by this, but are we really that much more mature? Have we evolved all that much beyond the Salem witch trials as much as we think we have when we look at a trial like Lindsay Clancy in the same state that used to burn witches?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. There's just this, it's almost like a sense of pleasure I sense from some people with this, burner at the stake mentality.
Yeah.
And I understand that hearing the testimony about how the children were killed is horrifying.
Sure.
It's horrifying. And people have really strong emotions. But rather than say, let's have some insight and try to understand how this happened so we can prevent it from happening in the future, they go into this rage and this desire to punish. And then they find each other online and they reinforce it, and it becomes a conspiracy in some weird way. And it's very unhealthy.
Yeah.
And I encourage people to get out of the amygdala and go in your thinking brain learn something about this.
This is how we self-radicalize. Seriously, that's exactly how it happens. Because then we get so rage fueled by these things, and then you're supported by people that are thinking just nutter your things, and you now are going to be an evangelist and do something even dumber because you are totally emotionally hijacked into the nutter world.
At the end of the day, I mean, justice is not retribution and watching her fry. Justice in a case like this, you truly want justice for those little kids, it's understanding what's going on here so it can be identified and protect other women and other kids when these sort of symptoms, when these ways of presenting present themselves, and being aware and understanding and accepting that this exists. Because if we don't do that, then we just go back to retribution and we go back to witches. And it doesn't
and
help
anybody. It's critically thinking through each thing, because I love that's what we do. I mean, that was our episode yesterday, is we critically thought through, all right, so let's entertain the thought. And when you can actually remove your emotion and just look at the data behind it, look at his behaviors, look at this, look at alibis, explore it. And if you're open to the critical thinking process of what's going on, it quickly gets washed away. Rather than saying, because here's what people typically say, something didn't seem right. So you had a you sensed a wobble in a behavior somewhere. You got to ask yourself, what specifically did you observe that gave you that wobble? Yep. Now, what you're trying to do is, because you don't like someone, you're going to now assign that little wobble you saw to, it must be bad. And now I'm going to get my own confirmation bias to take that wobble I'm seeing. I'm going to find a piece of data that supports that conclusion I'm looking for. And now it's fact in my own brain. And then we're going to keep grabbing things that make us, because we're beautiful pattern recognizers as a human species rather than any other species on this planet. And we're going to see the patterns that actually don't really exist to support the conclusion we want to have happen, because we want someone to burn.
Exactly. Yeah. The anger gets almost like an addiction for people. Mm-hmm. And these are probably folks that have that attitude about a lot of things.
Well, and what gets me is like this, there's plenty of anger to be had in this case, but let's direct it at the right places so we can affect change and we can actually help people, not just our own sick selves that want to see something sadistic happened in front of us. I mean, that's what's so sad about it. It's like, take that energy, direct it where it should go. There's plenty of places where it should be directed. It's just not where a lot of people are putting
it. Fix this shit. I mean, that's what we're trying to do. Let's fix this shit. This is so, I've never known. I had no idea things were so broken. I had no idea things were so complicated. I had to print out charts to figure out all these different mental health professionals. I'm like, what the friggin' hell? This is messed up. If you just pay attention for like a day or even a couple hours, or just get snippets or watch us, you know, you'll see this is a broken system that I was completely oblivious. I mean, I knew it had issues, but this is it. This is like pulling back the curtain, you know, in Wizard of Oz and saying, wow, holy shit. Because remember, if there's one, there's at least 10 more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If not 100. This is just one we are seeing.
Yeah.
Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. Links are in the description.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needs something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough, stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes.
seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes? Or how about fresh dough stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.